There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. It's the weekend. You've made it and you deserve the best. We're going to give you the best. Ladies and gentlemen, the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, the lovely and talented Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Oh, you flatter me.
We've got some amazing new advertisers this week. I can't wait to get into that. And people are like, wait, what? We'll talk about the advertisers later.
Yeah.
Cool stuff coming. We're going to talk about that. But first off, I want to make a quick mention, if I may, Tim.
Sure.
Because we have a special guest joining us just for a few minutes on the show today. A buddy of mine, Ryan Singer, an amazing comedian and a podcast host who loves the paranormal. He's been a guest of mine twice in the last few months on Midnight in the Desert. And he has a brand new album, and it's called Free Love, and it's available free, Tim. You see how that works? Free.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's into the paranormal, and he's got paranormal comedy on this. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's a pleasure having you stop in here, and I just thought this was really cool, and especially because you do cover topics with the paranormal slant to them for this album. I thought this is perfect for our audience, if they are not familiar with you, to cut their teeth on you and get to learn a little bit about you. So the album, how many tracks do you do that are paranormal related?
I'm trying to think like off the top of my head. I'd say like at least over half of these tracks are paranormal related. Like, just to give people an example, like one of the tracks is called I Believe in Bigfoot. Another one is Talk to Your Water, if they're familiar with Dr. Emoto's work. Another one is entitled Teleportation. There's one called Singularity. Another one called Crystals and Magic. I'm into all kinds of paranormal, esoteric, all that old mystery school stuff, plus the new age woo and everything in between, for sure.
Dr. Emoto, that sounds like a cartoon villain name to me.
Yeah, quite the opposite of like a cartoon villain. He's like, he's Dr. Masura Emoto. He wrote the book, I have it right in front of me, The Hidden Messages in Water. He's the guy who did the experiment where he would freeze water droplets, and then he'd examine the crystals inside of them after they labeled the droplet with positive loving words or, you know, mean hateful words. And there was a big difference between the results and the structure of the crystal. The ones that they loved would be beautiful and symmetrical, and the ones that they hated would be disorganized, chaotic, and quote unquote ugly, if you want to call them that. And the idea there is like, if our bodies are anywhere from 50 to 70% water, depending on, you know, what scientist you talk to, that's like, and if we're walking around thinking horrible things about ourselves all the time, you know, thinking we're not good enough or that we're ugly or we're never going to be loved or anything like that, like our body is like physically becoming ugly in that way. So it's like, we have to like talk to our water, man. You gotta, every time you take a drink, you just gotta, you know, make sure that you tell it it's beautiful. I mean, you're weird, but it's fun.
How would you like to explain that to the family? When you're, you know, a scientist, you're working in a lab environment. What did you do the last 6 months? I've been cursing at water. What? Yeah, I've been telling water what useless junk it is, and it's garbage. It's only good for fish to have sex in. I've just berated water for 6 months. But my buddy Larry, he's been in love with water. He's just been talking it up. That's got to be a weird, weird gig in itself. But you know what? Here's something bizarre with that theory in mind, and I've heard about this before, is imagine how important it is then over family dinner, as you are arguing and fighting over politics or or any kind of topic, I guess, you know, family issues. If you're just yelling and you're putting all that anger and rage and irritation into the air and into the food and the things that you're drinking, how does that impact you?
Yeah, right. And then it's like power in numbers kind of thing. And it's like, you know, whether, you know, we're talking about prayer, which, you know, I know I was raised Catholic. So like there's always been power in numbers, and like the more people who get together and pray over something, you know, the more effective it's likely to be, or, you know, but I think the opposite also has to be true. You know, the more people that are together hating on something, and like you said, like if it's a family dinner, you know, that just negative energy getting stirred up and just manifesting there, it's infused into everything. I mean, we've all walked into a party or a room at someone's house where maybe a couple just had a big fight, even though we didn't hear the fight or know that they were in a fight. We walk into the room and we feel that something, we feel the negative energy going on. Like, right. You can tell, like, oh, something just happened in here. And people kind of dismiss that. I mean, they don't dismiss it necessarily, but we're not aware of just how in tune we are with energy and with feeling emotions and our intuition, and because we just take it for granted. But those are like really good examples of, yeah, we feel energy. And so I know there's kind of a backlash in certain circles with like, oh, everybody thinks they're an empath now, which I've heard. I don't know if people have been hearing that, but maybe it's just in the cynical LA comedy community. But
no, you're like, right. Oh, everybody is an empath now. I agree.
So it's like, but yeah, everybody's an empath. I mean, I believe, yeah, everybody's an empath. I mean, if they're tapped into it, and if they, you know, open themselves to it and connect and can ground, and there's all kinds of different ways to do it. And we've all got, you know, we've all got our own issues with, like, you know, calcifying our pineal gland, if that's the method that people might be into, and trying to open up to their psychic abilities and things like that. But I think it's a power that's inherent in all of us. It's just a lot of us aren't tapped in.
I agree. And, you know, we've been doing intention experiments on the show for years. And Tim, I think I figured out the problem here.
What's that?
Well, we've been asking listeners, you know, if really the power of prayer and intention works, we've been asking for hair, and I'm getting it. You're getting it. Yours is just on your back, and mine is sprouting out of my nose and ears.
Yeah.
We need our listeners, just hear me and hear me out now. Just when you focus on the hair growth, not my eyebrows so much. I don't need Nikita Khrushchev eyebrows. My children are already terrified of them. They're afraid that they're trying to climb over the top of my glasses and make their way to throttle them in their sleep. They just focus on the tops of our heads. You know that U shape there's no hair on? Focus on that growing. That would be much more helpful. So maybe the bumper shoots coming out of my nose will back up a little bit. The tarantulas in my ears will no longer frighten small children and old people. We'll be able to get control of our lives again. And Tim's Sasquatch-like back will finally get the much-needed oxygen it needs.
Well, I tell you, I've already braided my back hair so long that I rent myself out as a tire swing on weekends for children at the playground. So I'm
need
finding
to focus that intention.
Yeah,
focus,
I'm
folks.
Yeah. I think the focusing of that intention is probably the most important part of it.
Yeah. It's like the monkey's paw. You can make a wish, but if you're not sure exactly how you worded that wish, things can go horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah, if Richard Pryor taught us anything, it's definitely that, through the stories of Mudbone.
Well, that and Don't Freebase. That was another
Don't Freebase.
that might be even a little bit more important of a lesson.
Yeah, but, yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, 1A and 1B. We'll call it that.
I guess it depends on where you are in your life, which lesson may be more apt for you at this point.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's like the one thing that's beautiful about like all the new information that comes out in the world, though. And like when it comes to like studies on intention and like the Global Consciousness Project by Dr. Roger Nelson, is that we have access to this information and we're all connected to it now to a certain degree. And it's like, what do we do with the information now that we've got it? And I think there's a lot of people, you guys, myself, your listeners. It's like we are fascinated by this, and we're very interested in implementing it and moving forward to like a better tomorrow, I think, is the idea. And a lot of this paranormal stuff for me what it means is tomorrow is going to be built better for us. That's what we're hoping for, and that's what we're actively trying to do by getting information out that we think is suppressed, whether it's about UFOs or Bigfoot and things like that. It's just about trying to have a better, more connected, more communal society for everybody. And that's where I think like the important part of like spreading the paranormal word comes in. Just trying to, you know, for us to get better. And so, yeah.
I just need to know, Ryan, do these lines work for you at the bar after the show?
Well, they did until my girlfriend, signed up. Then, you know, now it's pretty much like, oh yeah, you know, just kind of go back to the hotel and read Dr. Emoto now.
She doesn't buy into the whole communal love sense of your conversation.
No. It's more like, I got to go back to the hotel and talk to some water. That's pretty much all the love I'm giving shows anymore.
That's awesome. Well, Ryan Singer's Free Love is out and available right now. And best of all, it's free. But check it out. You've got to check it out for yourself. And for those of you paranormal fans, check out Me and Paranormal You. That is his Mindcast, which I love much better than the term podcast. And just to introduce our listeners to that, tell them where they can find it, how often they can find it, and what kind of topics you cover with who.
Cool. You can go to RyanSingerComedy.com. It's got a link to the album. It's got a link to my Mindcast. I interview people. I do long form interviews with people with paranormal abilities or experiences. We're talking about clairvoyance, growing up in haunted houses, people who practice witchcraft. One time I smoked DMT for the first time and recorded it. Also, interview with my ex-girlfriend who could shapeshift or morph. So like all that and more is over there.
Very cool. Ryan Singer, you can check it out on his website. We'll have that located right on today's podcast information so that you can find it very easy. Ryan, thanks for stopping by today.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on, and have a good rest of the day and enjoy those new sponsors.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll have to have you back on in the future on Beyond the Darkness with us. Would you come back sometime and we'll do a long form?
Oh, you betcha. Yeah, I'd love to.
Wow, you betcha.
Anytime, you let me know.
He talks to Minnesotans for 20 minutes, Tim, and suddenly he's got our vernacular down.
He's right in the middle of Fargo.
Yeah, you betcha.
All right, Ryan Singer, thank you so much. All right, Tim, let's get to it. Supernatural news. And I want to mention to people, if you want to be a part of the show, it's very simple. I mean, you're not going to get paid, but you could be a part of our show every Saturday with our voices from beyond. Give us a call, 651-300-4977. 651-300-4977. We've got a lot of stories this week.
Yeah, we do. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I love that. And they're gaining more and more every week. Some of them, I will tell you, we get a lot every week. Some of them, you just got to make sure that your microphone is by your mouth, because half your stories, you start off, you're like, yeah, Dave and Tim, love the show. And I want to tell you, I had this really weird experience as a teenager. I was living alone at my parents' house while they were gone for the weekend. And then I saw the thing come out of the closet and its fingers. And we can't use those stories. Tim tries to bolster them, but if we can't understand them, we're not going to put them on the air. So just make sure you hold your phone right up and that the microphone is not covered. We all have that problem, Tim, of putting like our finger over the microphone or pushing the phone up against our cheek while we talk. And we get some crap audio. So we've missed a lot of great stories. So if you have called and you have not heard your story, that's probably why.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
So just call back in and share your story. 651-300-4977. 651-300-4977. We will get to those stories a little bit later on in the Parashare segment of today's show. But Tim, let us begin in the world of supernatural news. Where are we going?
We're going to Peabody, Massachusetts, Dave, where a house where a victim of the Salem witch trials once lived is on the market for just $600,000.
Oh, that's a nice little vacation home, Tim.
A nice little vacation home at the measly price of $600,000, just in time for Halloween. It's a quaint little home of only 4,000 square feet. Yikes.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's huge.
Actually, then that's a pretty good price for that amount.
Yeah,
I mean, there's houses in Minnesota that are like 2,000 square feet that are, you know, $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot of square feet. I don't know how many people have square feet, but you know, if you've got them, this is the house for you.
Yeah, it's actually not a bad price, especially out on the East Coast. It's a 4,000 square foot home built in 1638, and it was once the home of John Proctor, who was once convicted of witchcraft and hanged in 1692. The six bedroom, two bathroom home is in Peabody, which is no relation to Sherman, if you're asking, which at the time was part of
Sherman. Set the Wayback Machine.
Real estate agent Joe Cipolletta, I believe, of J. Barrett and Company, said some parts of the original structure, including wooden beams, are still visible. It has been modernized and includes an in-ground pool, Dave.
Ooh, yeah. An in-ground pool.
You get an in-ground pool.
I didn't realize the witch trials paid that good of money.
Well, you know what it is they want to make sure you're not a witch when you buy it, so they just throw you in automatically.
Yeah, they dunk. It's the Duncan.
Yeah, it's the Duncan Witchin' House.
So we call it the Duncan?
Yeah, the Duncan House. The homeowners died earlier this month, evidently in the pool. No, I'm kidding. I made that last part up.
Not you.
Yeah, I did. Michael Bonfanti. It's going to be a rough one. I went to Foo Fighters last night, so there you go. That's my excuse. Vice President of the Peabody Historical Society tells the Salem News the organization is looking into whether it's feasible to purchase the home and make it a public resource. So there you go.
Very cool.
So evidently,
that'd be a great place to own. And it does seem like, I mean, if you could turn it into a bed and breakfast, I would think you could earn that back in no time.
Yeah, it's got six bedrooms. I mean, you know, the bathroom facilities are...
Tim,
you know.
We're getting older. I think it's time we start looking to invest our fives of dollars into something.
Well, at this point, to pay off that $600,000, we would need three, four, five lifetimes.
Yeah. I'm good for it. I'm not in any rush to leave this one.
Well, I'm not either, but, you know...
Can we get a 350-year mortgage and only pay like $8 a month?
The Bank of St. Martin might do that for us, but I don't think any American bank would.
Not in the real world, huh?
No.
Damn. All right, sir. Where are we off to next?
We head off to the White House, Dave, where finally...
Dun, 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 dun.
I don't think that's the right anthem. No. Where finally a Bush has figured it out, Dave.
pardon me.
Yeah. Jenna Bush Hager is convinced the White House is haunted. It only took her all this time plus a little bit of time away from the White House to figure it out. The former first daughter said she was visited by friendly ghosts. Yeah. While many Americans may think that there's something scary currently lurking in the White House, I didn't write it, folks. It's in the article. Jenna Bush Hager is convinced that the president's official residence is haunted. The former first daughter told Hoda on Today that she and sister Barbara Bush started hearing 1920s piano music as clear as day coming out of the fireplace. Boy, that's not the place to hear piano music.
Not at all.
You would want to naturally follow it in.
It's better to hear piano music from the fireplace than to find somebody in there playing the organ.
Ooh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Remember to tip your waiters and waitresses. All right, go on.
She said, we talked ourselves out of it, Hager said, but they came with all good intentions. They were friendly ghosts. And that's the name of that tune there. That's how I end my story.
All right, Tim, where are we off to next in the world of supernatural news?
Dave, we're going to Italy.
Dun, 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 dun.
I don't think that's it either, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's all right.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
That's more like it.
All right.
I think.
What have we got going?
Well, a child vampire was buried 1,550 years ago in Italy, along with a jar of Prego. No, I don't think so.
Every day is Prince Spaghetti Day.
That's right. A 1,550-year-old vampire burial of a child with a rock stuffed into his or her mouth has been discovered in an ancient cemetery in Lugnano, Italy. Lugnano. Those who buried the child, who possibly died of malaria, may have used the rock to prevent him or her, the child's sex isn't known, from rising from the grave and spreading disease to other people, said a team of researchers in a statement released October 12th by the University of Arizona, who are more known for drinking and had quite a few rocks stuffed in their own mouths as well. I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. It's extremely eerie and weird, said David Sorin, an anthropology professor at the University of Arizona, who has overseen archaeological excavations at the cemetery since 1987. Locally, they're calling it the Vampire of Lugnano. Seven Strange Ways Humans Act Like Vampires, I guess, is the name of his book. Other bizarre remains have been discovered at this cemetery called La Necropoli dei Bambini, or the Cemetery of the Babies, including the skeletons of babies and toddlers found buried beside raven talons, toad bones, and bronze cauldrons. I had that at the cafeteria at Winona State University once. Yeah, it was quite delicious. Yeah.
College cooking.
Mm-hmm. Filled with the remains of sacrificed puppies. Oh, no. Oh. In one case, the...
Wow, this is about the cheeriest story I've ever heard. Well played.
Yeah. In one case, the skeleton of a three-year-old girl at the cemetery was found with stones holding down her hands and feet, the researchers said. A cheery cemetery. In fact, until now, the oldest person found buried at the cemetery was the three-year-old, and archaeologists assumed the grounds had been reserved for infants and toddlers. There are still sections of the cemetery that we haven't excavated yet, so we don't know if we'll find other older kids, bioarchaeologist Jordan Wilson, a doctoral student in anthropology at the University of Arizona, who analyzed the bones in Italy, said in the statement. The cemetery was erected during the 5th century within a 1st century Roman villa. During the 5th century, a deadly malaria outbreak swept through the area, according to the archaeologists. The researchers said they suspected the child died of malaria, even though DNA testing hasn't been conducted on the child's remains. Other children buried in the cemetery are known to have died of malaria, and this child has an abscessed tooth, which is a side effect of malaria. According to the researchers, they said, we know that the Romans were very much concerned with this. The spread of disease would even go to the extent of employing witchcraft to keep the evil, whatever is contaminating the body, from coming out. Sorin went on to add that in this case, the evil may have been malaria. The researchers will continue excavations at Lugnano next summer. Other vampire burials have been discovered in the past in Italy and in Poland. An 18th century example of one such possible burial was discovered recently at the Church of the Holy Trinity in Poland, reported Sebastian Nowak, a researcher at Nicholas Copernicus University in Torun, Poland. Nowak described the finding at the European Association of Archaeologists annual meeting held in September in Barcelona, Spain. So there you go.
You know, I found out something interesting. Do you know where the idea that they don't cast a reflection or can't be photographed came from?
No, where's that?
This is cool. This is not a joke. They said, here's the deal. All right, because silver is a pure metal, that is why it's an affront to Dracula and to vampires, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the purity of it, mm-hmm. and because it can affect the blood, which is apparently tainted. But the reason that they can't cast a reflection is because back in the day, mirrors were backed with silver.
Oh.
Right? So it was okay. A thin silver coating. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the reason that that they weren't able to be seen. And in original photographs, they were silver plates. So they wouldn't reflect on the silver because they were impure. Isn't that interesting? That's why In today's culture, theoretically, vampires should be able to show up on camera because it's digital and show up in reflections on mirrors.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun. The more you know with your friends at Beyond the Darkness. Where are we off to next, Tim?
Well, this has to do with a secret X-Files group in the U.S. government believing in UFOs and wanting the truth exposed. It's a shocking claim, Dave. One so shocking that I can barely speak about it. Well, no, I can't, actually. Nick Pope, who investigated the strange phenomenon for the... Go ahead. You can do it. You're not going to?
No, it's got to come naturally. Okay. I got to feel it. I got to be in the mode to phenomena, whole thing.
All right. For the Ministry of Defense, compared the believers to the X-Files series character Fox Mulder, the famous fictional FBI agent portrayed by David Duchovny, investigated alleged paranormal mysteries alongside his skeptical colleague, Dr. Dana Scully, played by Gillian Anderson. The U.S. government has acknowledged a top-secret project at the Pentagon called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or AATIP, if you know what I mean, ran for 4 years officially from 2008. Top officials working alongside scientists from Bigelow Aerospace examined videos of UFOs and reportedly studied debris from crashed spaceships while working out whether craft used extraterrestrial technology to travel at such extreme speeds. Mr. Pope stars in a new documentary called Aliens at the Pentagon, directed by Michael Long, which lifts the lid on the Pentagon's secret program. And Mr. Pope claims it is not long before a full disclosure could reveal everything the U.S. government knows about UFOs. He said, "I identify what I think is can best be described as a believer faction within the U.S. government, a maverick group of scientists and defense officials who genuinely think UFOs might be alien and who are interested in a wide range of other paranormal phenomena. These real-life Fox Mulders were thrilled when the Pentagon got money to look at all this, but the government needed to distance itself from these topics, so a lot of work was contracted out to Robert Bigelow's company, Bigelow Aerospace. One reason the government wanted to distance itself from this was because interest in UFOs and the paranormal went against the religious beliefs of some senior Pentagon officials who regarded such things as demonic. Aliens at the Pentagon is aimed at reigniting interest in the story of the Pentagon's UFO project at a critical moment in history. The U.S. Congress is demanding to know how the millions of dollars pumped into UFO research were spent and what taxpayers got for their money. Washington is abuzz with rumors that formal congressional hearings were imminent, and we may be closer than ever to getting an answer to the question of what the U.S. government knows about UFOs. Daily Star Online reported recently that a key White House committee could be planning a groundbreaking public hearing on the Pentagon project. The influential U.S. Armed Services Committee has been investigating the money spent on the top-secret X-Files project. It emerged that former Nevada Democrat Harry Reid, who pushed for AATIP's creation in 2007, suggested the U.S. military could harvest technology from UFOs to be more powerful than enemies. Reid wrote, "The technological insight and capability gained will provide the U.S. with a distinct advantage over any foreign threats and allow the U.S. to maintain its preeminence as a world leader."
So interesting stuff. That I know Nick Pope has certainly been beating the drum on this, trying to get the information out. I'd love to just see where this ends up. I mean, I keep hearing these kind of stories, but then nothing surfaces of any real power. So hopefully as they keep pushing and keep beating the drum, something's going to break. All right, where are we off to next, sir?
Romeo and Juliet, Dave. A couple of ghost lovers are caught kissing in a historic British abbey. Aww.
It's just like a Romeo and Juliet. It's a little song from the 60s, Tim.
Wow.
Yeah, little reference for you.
You're dating yourself in this appropriate story.
Somebody's got to date me.
I thought that's what the wife was for.
No, she doesn't like when I date.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll keep it quiet then. A ghost hunter claims he snapped two loved-up ghosts having a little bit of a kiss. 60-year-old Ron Bowers caught Romeo and Juliet. Get it? It's clever.
I like it.
Yeah. While on a paranormal investigation at Revesby? Is that what it is? I don't know. Abbey in Lincolnshire. I get so much crap from people now, I just don't care anymore. Do these people know this, that I don't care about the pronunciation? Do they know this?
Where's the love?
I don't know. He claims to have heard noises behind him that made him uneasy shortly before taking photographs of the building. He initially believed he had captured mist, but noticed two figures and believes that they could be a couple hugging. Ron's an electronics engineer from East Anglia and said, "It's one of the best photos that I've ever taken. When I first arrived and walked into the rear of the abbey, I sensed the presence of two people before taking the photograph. I heard a noise that I thought was behind me, which was a little bit off-putting. I thought I could hear a rustling in the bushes behind me before the capture of what looks like an embracing couple, which led me to think it could be someone. At first, I thought it was one figure, but within a few seconds, I realized it could be two, one with an arm around the other. The arm is very prominent, and it looks like two people embracing. It looks like they are in love. It's nice to believe that love continues. It's a lovely picture, and maybe there's a love story there, he went on to say. He admits that while he expects there to be suspicion around his photo, he swears it's real. Ron said, I am pleased and a little overwhelmed by the reaction. I'm very apprehensive of the abuse that's bound to come, but this is real. I would like to think that the spirit couple once were lovers and lived, or at least one of them did, at Revesby, and this was their favorite place. Ron accompanied the Cambridge ghost hunters on their investigation of the Abbey, which was formerly a medieval monastery founded in 1143. The isolated spot has been documented for several hauntings and supernatural experiences. So what do you think? Is he a supernatural perv?
The love boat soon will be making another run. Why should we judge love here or in the afterlife, Tim? Just let it happen.
I'm not
judging. Just embrace the love,
Tim. I'm not judging the love. I'm judging the guy who's taking the photos of it.
Well, I got you.
Yeah.
All right.
See. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Speaking of love, Tim, get that 50% off of one item, 3 free adult DVDs, and a super secret discreet gift. Plus free shipping at adamandeve.com/darkness. And remember to use code darkness at checkout. What's our next story, Tim?
But I'm just saying, if the ghosts are using your products, don't go around photographing it.
No.
Just let them have their
maybe
piece.
It's good advertising.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I changed my mind. What is a doppelganger? That's the question being questioned. Yes, in this article, the mythology of your ghostly evil twin is very creepy. That it is indeed. You've probably experienced at one point or another someone telling you that they saw someone who looked exactly like you, or perhaps you're the one who thought for sure you saw a person you knew, only to find out it was just a random lookalike. Could it have possibly been their doppelganger? If you're judging by the supernatural meaning of a doppelganger, then the author of this says, I certainly hope it wasn't. Today, we often use the term doppelganger, casually referring to a twin stranger or a random person who just so happens to weirdly look a lot like you. Coming across an almost identical stranger can definitely be a little bit freaky, but the original interpretation of a doppelganger is way more disturbing. So exactly what is a doppelganger in supernatural terms? Well, the word itself translates literally to double goer or double walker in German. And it's defined as a ghostly counterpart of a living person. In traditional folklore, doppelgangers are usually considered to be a ghostly apparition or entity that, rather than a physical being, and almost always is sinister in nature. The sight of one, either your own or someone else's, is widely considered to be a bad omen, as doppelgangers are supposedly harbingers of darkness, bad luck, or sometimes straight-up evil. The idea of a spiritual, ghostly, or demonic double of living people have existed for millennia, explained the Paranormal Guide. Much of the time, a doppelganger is viewed as an omen of tragedy, illness, or the death of a person who is copied. You know, the evil twin trope that's common in so many cultures, playing out in literature, art, film, and more? Well, that's exactly tied directly to the mythology of the doppelganger. So according to legend, how could one identify their doppelganger? Well, first of all, the dead giveaway is that they look exactly like you. Well, that's pretty obvious. And would essentially
when we were just out at the Monoman Shooting Star Casino, I had a quadrillion doppelgangers. So did John Zaffis. There was John Zaffis. There was Carrie Peterson. There was a guy in a scooter wheelchair who looked exactly like John Zaffis. They've all got the white beards, the glasses, that little black cap.
Yep.
And then even Jazz John Zaffis, the bass guitarist from Slamabama, he had the hipster kind of beard going, but looked like John Zaffis on stage. There must have been 5 or 6 people. And then you had Dave Tango wearing the exact same hat with glasses, but no beard. So it was like watching, you know, Darwin's theory of evolution right in front of me.
It was like the Benjamin Button John Zaffis.
Yes, it was really weird. I could see them in all different stages of life. It was unbelievable.
Whoa, that's weird. But exciting, because you're at Paracon, so you can kind of piece it all together and make a presentation. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was drinking at the bar. Part of it could have been hallucination. I'm not sure.
Well, it could have been, yeah. First of all, the dead giveaway would be, of course, that they look exactly like you, or they look like a Benjamin Button version of you, and would essentially be you in every way except for that, well, they're not. According to the Paranormal Guide, which seems to be referenced quite a bit in this article, the doubles that may at times be seen by others as performing a person's actions before the real person makes them, or they may be a shadow performing the same movements, but after they have happened. Confused? You might be after this episode of Soap. Many historical reports claim doppelgangers...
This obscure reference was brought to you by adamandeve.com/darkness. Make sure to use darkness at checkout to save 50% off one item, get 3 free adult DVDs, 1 discreet free gift, and free shipping. Again, that's adamandeve.com/darkness. Use coupon code darkness at checkout. Now, back to Tim and more obscure references.
Do they have soap in their catalog, too?
Maybe. Okay. Maybe.
Many historical reports claim doppelganger sightings have been a premonition for death and tragedy, and these apparitions have other strange paranormal qualities as well. The doppelgangers of folklore cast no shadow and have no reflection in a mirror or in water, explains metaphysics website Crystal Links. And while doppelgangers themselves allegedly have no reflection, there are many reports of people seeing their own doppelganger in the mirror, either next to their actual reflection or as a distorted version of it. A very famous doppelganger sighting was in the case of President Abraham Lincoln, who allegedly claimed he saw a double reflection of himself in the mirror, with his face appearing in 2 separate and distinct images. The second face, though, was distinctly paler and more sickly looking than his actual reflection. He allegedly shared this haunting experience with his wife, and according to Ancient Origins, she was said to be very worried and told Lincoln she believed that the paleness of half the dual image was a bad omen, which meant that Lincoln would serve his first full term but would not live to finish his second. Tragically and bone-chillingly, this proved to be true. Whether that reported doppelganger sighting was a warning or a premonition is up for debate, but honestly, it says here, it's creepy AF either way. I don't think I've ever used the term AF on the show. So your alleged evil twin could, according to doppelganger mythology, appear to you or someone else at any time, bringing negative omens galore, but apparently they might also try to mess with your head. Many doppelganger accounts suggest the apparition might attempt to provide advice to the person they shadow, but that this advice can be misleading or malicious. They may also attempt to plant sinister ideas in their victim's mind or cause them great confusion, and apparently they might also try to interact with others as you, which adds a whole new layer of confusion. In all cases, it's considered advisable to never interact with your doppelganger, as it's thought to bring even more bad luck. And while there are many reports throughout the history of doppelgangers serving as bad omens or appearing as supernatural apparitions, sometimes you may just come across a regular person who by freak chance looks a lot like you. In playing the game of genetic roulette, there's always a chance that someone somewhere will end up looking strangely similar to someone else, even though there's no direct relation. We only have so many genes in the collective human gene pool, and while there are definitely a lot of variations, apparently those variations are eventually finite. We aren't that genetically diverse, reported Canada's Global News. So eventually the numbers would dictate that certain features resembling yours will randomly combine. That means that, according to science, it's totally possible for you to come across a stranger, an actual person, not a foreboding apparition, who looks eerily just like you, and that this could possibly explain some of the seemingly paranormal reports of doppelganger sightings throughout history. But who's to say? In any case, here's to hoping, if you ever do spot a doppelganger, it's one of those modern-day non-ghostly persuasion with zero bad luck vibes and sight.
Yes, no doubt. All right, and where are we off to next, sir?
Let me take a breath here. All right, we're talking Halloween programming. Couple of things on tap on Travel Channel. One has to, again, do with this guy who's on the other line here that I'm talking to, that Dave Schrader guy. The live Zach Bagans. Wow, a live. They're just giving Zach Bagans top billing here. I thought it was a Ghost Adventures thing.
It is, but he is kind of Ghost Adventures, you know?
Well,
people tune in, they always think of it as Zach's show.
Yeah.
But anyhow, what's going on?
And they're investigating his live haunted museum there in Las Vegas. I get that. From October 22nd, straight through the big day, Travel Channel is loaded up on all kinds of fun Halloween-appropriate programming, highlighted by a four-hour live investigation inside Zach Bagans' Las Vegas Haunted Museum. But there's another special. It's a one-hour Chris Jericho Hunting Monsters special featuring the pro wrestler on a quest to find monsters. And it has nothing to do with those roided-up guys that are backstage at the wrestling matches. Just saying. It turns out that there's everything you need to watch on the Tribal Channel this month. Wildlife expert Casey Anderson is not afraid to get dangerously close to the largest and fiercest creatures on the planet in Travel Channel's newest series, Monster Encounters. His mission is to track down and document evidence of animals so large and unusual that they defy belief. Employing the latest technologies in his lifetime of wildlife experience, Anderson travels to remote corners of the earth in search of elusive creatures. Throughout each episode, he leaves no stone unturned, collecting clues and connecting the dots until he gets up close and personal with the beast he seeks. And those are hour-long episodes. Casey Anderson heads to Mexico to find out if vampire bats are attacking humans. He learns that the bats have been fattening up on cattle, and as a result, the population has grown as much as 25%. So if you hate bats, this is your worst nightmare. Heading directly to the source, the country's caves and cattle ranches, Anderson risks his safety to become prey in his hunt for a mega colony of bloodsuckers. Ooh, fun. After meeting a rancher who claims he was bitten by a bat, Anderson recreates the scene in hopes that he too will be bitten, and it's a terrifying success. That series premiere is Tuesday, October 30th at 10 p.m. Eastern. Then Chris Jericho's in on the mix with Chris Jericho Hunting Monsters. That one-hour special premieres Tuesday, October 23rd. WWE champion and famed author, musician, and podcaster Chris Jericho has had a lifetime fascination with the unexplained. Now he's on a terrifying mission to uncover the truth behind the fearsome swamp creatures believed to inhabit the swamps of southern Louisiana. Wading deep into bayou country, Chris searches for evidence of a legendary creature known as Rougarou, which is what, Dave?
It's Australian for beer.
Exactly. And a Sasquatch-like beast that roams the Honey Island Swamp. Well, it can't be that dangerous if it's in the Honey Island Swamp. I'm just saying.
Sounds like a good mixture. You could try our new Rougarou beer, or right from the Honey Swamp, our brand new heady hops, right?
That's right. Like a good
mixture with it, yeah.
It just sounds delicious is what it sounds like.
We call it the Rougarou and Swamp Squatch.
The Swamp Squatch.
Yeah, I tried to say that one time
swamp
fast.
Swamp Squatch. I can't. Is there a connection between these monsters and what of the curse put on the region by infamous voodoo priestess Julia Brown in the early 1900s? Well, Jericho encounters compelling proof from eyewitnesses, physical evidence, and a startling revelation from beyond the grave. That premieres again Tuesday, October 23rd. Be sure to check that out. Then Ghost Adventures, a four-part miniseries, Graveyard of the Pacific. That special four-part event has Zach, Aaron, Billy, and Jay heading to the Graveyard of the Pacific, a treacherous nautical region of the Pacific Northwest where the freshwater of the Columbia River meets the Pacific Ocean. Here, the ocean has claimed thousands of shipwrecks and countless lives, while unexplained deaths, diseases, fires, and murders have impacted areas around the shoreline. Shoreline, that's a word, I can say it. The investigation takes the team to multiple haunted locations, from the underground tunnels weaving beneath the city of Astoria, Oregon, and the port city's Norblad Hostel, to the Fort Stevens military base outside of town, where dangerous entities are believed to haunt various sites. The investigation culminates at the North Head Lighthouse in Washington, which bore witness to some of the most tragic shipwrecks of this watery graveyard. Part four is Cape Disappointment, and that premieres Saturday, October 27th at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then we skip to Monsterland's Werewolf Encounters, which is a one-hour special that premieres Tuesday, October 30th. Zoologist, animal behaviorist, and wildlife cameraman Max Hug Williams, that's a heck of a name, travels the globe in an attempt to document and capture mythic creatures on film. As one of the world's leading nature cinematographers, Williams has filmed many never-before-seen sights and monster lands, werewolf encounters. Williams, alongside naturalist Adrian Shine, embarks on a mission to discover the phenomenon that's hiding behind a recent string of werewolf sightings in Brazil, which have caught local headlines and even caused one town to institute a werewolf curfew. And then on Halloween itself, Ghost Adventures Live. Can't imagine who's going to be there. I know just the Ghost Adventures guys, I think. I don't think anybody else is showing up, if I remember right. I think it's
Josh. Josh Gates will be there. Josh Gates.
Oh, Josh Gates will be there?
Yeah, Chris Fleming will be there.
Oh, Chris Fleming will be there. That's nice.
Yeah, Michael and Marty Perry.
Oh, Michael and Marty Perry will be there. Yeah.
Justin Spurrier.
Oh, Justin Spurrier will be there. I think there's
And Darkness Radio Dave will be running the Nerve Center, Tim.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the love and support.
Yeah. No, it's good. That sounds pretty good. There's a lady snake there too. It says here, lady snake.
Yeah, I'm trying not to think of that. You know how I feel about snakes.
Yeah,
it's always snakes, Tim.
The team will investigate a 33-room historic mansion brimming with hauntings from its own dark past. And that now houses thousands of haunted objects. Oh, you're in for a fun time. Some so frightening and powerful that they can't even be touched, including Peggy the doll and the infamous Dybbuk box. This will be taking place in Zach Bagans' Las Vegas Haunted Museum. So they're going to be playing with lots of haunted objects. The Dybbuk box. You're going to have fun with that. Over 30 cameras will capture the event live, and in an unprecedented move, Bagans will attempt to open that Dybbuk box, unleashing hell, and everybody's going to be doomed. That'll be fun. Quite possibly evoking paranormal mayhem.
And everybody will be doomed.
Everybody will be doomed. Yep. So bring along priests and bishops and all kinds of holy relics, because this thing's all going to crap, I guess. It's going to be live, though. It'll be on the I'm just trying to be positive here, Dave. I'm just trying to be positive. It's all on the Travel Channel. Begins October 31st, Halloween, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Say plenty of prayers for Dave. He's in the Nerve Center. He's the only one safe. Everybody else is going to be wiped out, I guess. I'm not
quite sure. I'll be drinking holy Mountain Dew. I'll have it blessed repeatedly to keep me alert, awake, and at the ready, at the con, if you will.
How do you pronounce the guy who's in the Social Command Center? Andrew Gunnarola Gunnady?
Sure.
He's going to be there with Josh Gates. I think Gates eventually is just going to push him over in his chair, take over.
I hope there's a full-out chair brawl.
I think there will be. I think they're just—it's like roller chair brawl. It's I think that eventually happens, and when the Dybbuk box turns them both evil and against each other, it happens later in the night. You just got to hang in there for it. It's like an hour three. I think that's what happens there. There's more stuff going on in Ghost Adventures later on in the month as we go towards November 3rd. In each episode of Ghost Adventures, Zach Bagans and Aaron Goodwin, along with AV Tech's Billy and Jay, travel to a different haunted destination where they meet with locals, eyewitnesses, and experts in an attempt to piece together the haunted history of each site. They then begin a dusk to dawn lockdown investigation using the latest scientific gadgets and technology in an effort to obtain physical evidence of the paranormal and cover the truth behind each haunted mystery. On November 3rd is the Idaho State Reform School. The Ghost Adventures team travels to St. Anthony, Idaho to investigate a former school with a dark history of death. Children were sent to Idaho State Reform School with the hope of being reformed, but the result was often the opposite. The former girls' dormitory and infirmary were eventually transformed into homes where a family now lives in distress, plagued by intense unseen forces and violent attacks. The team begins their lockdown, and they document unnerving evidence of unexplained activity, disembodied voices, and their own physical attacks. You've got Mysteries at the Museum, too, which premieres on Wednesday, October 24th, with Gulf Breeze, UFO, Poison Pill, and Saving Private Lynch. And then on October 24th as well, they have another episode, Spacecraft Heist, A Brush with Anthrax, and Lift Like an Egyptian. Oh, I love that song, by the way. Have you ever heard that one? Lift like an Egyptian. Mm-hmm. You have Haunted Live on premiering on Friday, October 26th. There's a new episode live where the Tennessee Wraith Chasers, our friends over there, investigate haunted locations across the nation. The Tennessee Wraith Chasers perform experiments in hopes of capturing definitive proof of ghosts, while viewers use webcam streaming on social media to direct the team to areas needing further investigation. Quite the revolutionary television experience. You can check that out Friday, October 26th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And then there's a new episode of Live premiering Friday, November 2nd, as they do kind of the same thing, but they investigate a school rectory with a bloody Civil War history believed to be haunted by numerous soldiers. So they do a couple of haunted live episodes with the Tennessee Wraith Chasers, both October 26th and November 2nd. And then Paranormal Survivor also has hour-long episodes throughout the month of October. So it's quite the stacked deck for the Travel Channel in October.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff, and I'm going to be on some of them, Tim.
Some of them? Not just one of them?
No, well, just one of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, so, wow, you're getting around.
That's all I got. There. I get around, round. All right, where else are we off to?
Let's see here. This one's kind of dangerous. It says something about
All right. I've been there. I want to go back there, but this is weird. And there's video. There's video. We'll put this link up probably at the end of our deal. Let me remind you guys today. Do me a favor. Do Tim a favor. If you love our show, please support our sponsors. And I know you listen and you forget to go back. We post now on each episode all of our sponsors and their links and what the special deal is. Don't hesitate. Go take advantage of those special deals, please, because you supporting our advertisers supports the show and keeps us on and keeps this show free and available for you for up to 90 days. So make sure you go and you take advantage of all the great savings and deals that we can offer you through our program. All right, Tim, go ahead with this next story.
This is the last story I got. It's a snake in the sky appearing above a notorious ranch, leaving locals baffled. Boy, we're going to Gilliland's Ranch out there. I believe you've been out there. You never saw a snake out there, did you?
No, and now I don't know that I ever want to. I loved looking at the sky, and now I'm terrified of it because there's snakes raining from the sky.
Sorry, I just kind of wanted to rub it in a little bit. Bizarre footage has emerged from the skies over a notorious ranch linked with extraterrestrial activity. That's right. There's a video out there, and we'll post the link so Dave can watch it over and over again, showing strange scenes unfolding over Gilliland's Ranch at the base of Mount Adams in southwest Washington in the U.S. The area is notorious for frequent, because I've been hanging out with Barbara Wawa, for frequent UFO sightings and unexplained light shows on site. But what witnesses spotted 3 miles above ground left them all confused and maybe a little bit freaked out. The clip shows something strange making its way across the screen as baffled onlookers watch on. The unknown phenomena moves through the air before it disappears from the screen and the recording ends. It was originally uploaded to SETI Stargate official YouTube channel, but has been shared widely across conspiracy pages. Many have dubbed it a sky worm or sky snake due to its appearance, with the video racking up more than 4,000 hits. I've never seen anything like that before, one viewer admitted. Another added, looks like it has wings in the middle too. Could be a dragon. And a third joked, did someone throw some toilet paper out of a plane?
Yeah, you're TPing from the sky. That's elevating your Halloween pranks to a whole new level.
Yeah, it is. Strange sighting comes on the same day a new conspiracy emerged over NASA's mysterious shutdowns. I don't think they shut down the toilet on the ISS. I don't think that was one of them. This almost looks like, when you look at the still photos, it just looks like a messed up chemtrail. But I mean, yeah,
does it? No. Wait, look at the video, though. You actually see these things kind of sparkling as they're flying through the sky. It's weird.
I'm going to look at the actual video here while we're talking.
It's still there.
I'm looking at it with the sound on. It's still there. He's like, I can't even see it.
Oh, I had it for a second. I've got it.
That's awesome.
I've got it on camera, guys.
It's moving around. Yeah, it's doing its thing. It does kind of look like toilet paper. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it looks like somebody threw toilet paper out of the ISS. It looks like a skyworm. Looks like a
skyworm. It's going skyward. All right. Well, that's it then. That's it for today's Supernatural News. Let's take a quick break. We'll give you a chance to grab a drink, shake it, go do what you got to do. Come on back. Let's have a little bit more fun with Parashare and your phone calls. And remember, be a part of the show with our Voices from Beyond. Call in 651-300-4977. You can leave up to a 3-minute story. If you have to wrap the story and then call back and finish it, Tim will edit those pieces together for a future broadcast. Call in, share your scariest stories. We've got the best ones for October. 651-300-4977. We'll be back with more right after this.
Beyond the darkness.
Welcome back to the show. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. Before we go into Parashare, Tim.
Yes.
I want to mention that if you're looking for something to do this weekend, Halloween is back in theaters. It's this is now being controlled as the second or the actual sequel to the first classic John Carpenter Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now we're doing away with Halloween 2 through 84. We're just going to go straight to Halloween. The Rob Zombie travesties never happened. Thank God. Thank God. I think that what happened, Tim, was that Thanos snapped his finger all the crap versions just vanished.
Aw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. But the new one picks up 40 years later. Laurie Strode is back. Jamie Lee Curtis. It is. I liked it. I went in, again, not having any kind of hope or desire for this to be a great movie, and I really enjoyed it. And I brought my kids because, yeah, I'm that kind of dad. They're all over 12, so that's okay. They love horror movies. And everybody really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun, thrilling slasher Home Alone mix movie. I thought it turned out really cool, and I was happy to see it. I don't know that I need to revisit Haddonfield again after that one.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like if they did another sequel, it'd cheapen it. But I love nods to the original. I love that John Carpenter was involved, rescored this with his music. I loved a lot of the aspects of this movie. With that said, out of 5 stars, I would still give it about 3.75, maybe right under 4 stars for overall. But I liked it. I think it was a good weekend, scary month movie to check out. And that's where I'd go. Like, so let's say 3.75 out of 5 stars.
Cool.
Your thoughts?
I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get invited. Yep. Yeah.
I brought my kids. Yeah. They liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't. You were feeding needing children.
No, I was home.
From a soup can, or you're probably out. I don't know. Home. Maybe like brushing gnats cats fur because you're a giver and a lover that way. I didn't want to interrupt.
Home by myself, crying myself to sleep. It was okay.
It was good. It was a really good movie. I enjoyed it. You will too, Tim. Check it out for yourself.
Sure.
Halloween. Hey, I do want to mention something cool. We want to hear from you. Email me, dave@darknessradio.com, if you're interested. We're looking at doing a fun little event. I host Midnight in the Desert every Monday through Friday, Beyond the Darkness every Saturday and Sunday. Tim is one of my regular fill-in hosts on Midnight in the Desert. We're going to do an event in Pahrump, Nevada in the spring, and we'd love to meet you guys. It'll be a Midnight in the Desert from the desert. And hopefully we'll get a chance to visit KNYE, Art Bell's radio station, Karen Jackson, the current owner, and Art Bell's best friend. We are going to do sessions on remote viewing to teach you how to do that. We're going to do talks on different aspects of the paranormal. I'll be on hand. Keith Rowland, Michelle, the producer and remote viewer and teacher will be on hand. Tim Dennis, Tim Weisberg, Shannon LeGros, and we might even bring in a couple of other paranormal favorites from the show, some of your other favorite guests, and have just a neat little weekend conference. And we'd love to hear from you. If you're interested, email me, dave@darknessradio.com. Put in the events tab. Midnight in the Desert event. And as soon as we release information, I'll make sure you are among the first to know about it. We'll email you first, but you have to email me now, dave@darknessradio.com. I'll keep them all in a folder. And as soon as we finalized all the planning and information on it, we will email you and let you know so you can be among the first to sign up and do the event and meet all of us in one place. Plus, I heard Tim's going to be giving out hugs and chiclets.
Oh, yeah. I love chiclets. I mean,
maybe you can ask him about the movie Halloween and how much he loved it.
I didn't see it, Dave. I was at home.
You should you should check it out.
Crying myself to sleep.
Pretty good.
Because I didn't get invited.
On movie. It's not that I didn't invite you. I just didn't ask you to come with. There's a big difference.
Yeah. Pretty much the same thing.
And my kids, Tim. My kids. I would have had to leave one kid out. And, you know, that's not acceptable in today's environment, Tim. Yeah, you can't single one children out or one child out as your least favorite and bring Uncle Tim. You know what? Kids, Daddy's only got enough tickets for me, two of you, and Uncle Chick. So one of you has to stay home and clean cat bins. That would not have gone over well. I could see them going to school, be all Cinderella about it, Tim. Thank you for taking the bullet so that I could take my family. I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's get to some stories. If you want to call in and be a part of our show, we'll feature your calls on the program. Call in and share your paranormal encounters at 651-300-4977. 651-300-4977, just like these two callers did.
Hey, Tim. Mike from Mesa, Arizona here. I don't have a story for you, but I just wanted to give you a heads up on something you should look into. Also, loved the show from Tombstone. That rocked, guys. I'm glad you guys can make it to this beautiful state and see some history. All right, there is a teacher at Hamilton High School in Chandler, Arizona, who has done a story, I guess, every year at Halloween. It's called The Kimberly Story. Again, it's The Kimberly Story. You can find a choppy audio, not a choppy, a low audio version of it out there online. But it's definitely an interesting story. I guess he tells us every year to his classes around Halloween. It's gone kind of viral from what I've read, but I don't ever remember hearing it. But one of my client's kids told me about it. So Google The Kimberly Story. Take a listen. Maybe you can get the guy that tells it on one time and just play it, play an episode of it for Darkness Radio. I think it would be very fitting for this podcast. Anyway, guys, honestly, love you guys a lot. Been listening to you guys for years now. Of course, I'm part of Midnight of the Desert and your podcast, all that jazz. Have a great day and hang in there and hope you guys have a healthy winter. Especially, Tim, with your diabetes and stuff. Take care. Bye.
Very cool. Remember, you can be a part of the show. Just give us a call, 651-300-4977. 651-300-4977. We want to hear your stories. And you can email me, dave@darknessradio.com, if you have questions and or stories to share. We do have one right here, Tim.
Oh, okay.
Dave and Tim, this is in regards to your Parashare episode 181, wherein a Brandon emailed in his description of experiences with sleep paralysis. Unfortunately, based on his description, it is clear that the phenomenon from which he is suffering is actually infestation of a djinn, Tim. It's cold djinn time again.
I don't know if that's the kind of djinn he's talking about, though.
Oh, yeah. For those who do not know yet. Yeah. Jinn are very powerful fourth destiny entities, or fourth density. Suddenly I turned into George McFly there. You are my density. For those that do not know it, Jinn are very powerful fourth density entities who look upon humans as cattle and nothing more. They are constantly finding ways to drain humans of their higher vibrational energy. They accomplish this by first taking advantage of the human's natural feature of sleep paralysis, a very normal characteristic of the dream state. It isn't clear if they simply time their attacks to coincide with the human's natural paralysis or if they're able to actually induce this paralysis. It may be a bit of both. Once the human is paralyzed, the djinn instills as much fear and anxiety in the human as possible and then draws off this energy upon which they feed. When humans experience fear, rage, or anxiety, any strong negative emotion, they dispel a type of fine energy upon which a variety of entities feed, including the djinn. Draco reptilians also feed upon this energy and have named it in their language Lush. Although they, both djinn and reptilians, seem not to require this to survive, it seems they do require it to be able to manifest and interact with our third density reality. Also, they derive a drug-like high from this energy. Once a djinn has latched onto you, it becomes extremely difficult to rid yourself of them. Extremely difficult, but certainly not impossible. The very first action you should take is to acquire large pieces of iron, Tim. Mm. It can even be scrap iron.
Okay.
Iron, iron, for those people that don't get it. Preferably long poles of iron, and lay them down on the floor surrounding your bed, like a protective framework. A piece of iron under your pillow or even under your bed directly beneath where your heart and or your head are positioned during sleep would also be advised. Laying down a line of salt along each windowsill and along the top of each exterior door jamb might also be good in some cases. Just make sure to include all possible door window openings to your home or your bedroom. Do they have high blood pressure and cholesterol issues?
I believe so.
Is that why they avoid salt?
Oh, well, yeah, a lot of them do, yeah.
Finally, and most importantly, it is very strongly recommended that you seek assistance from someone qualified in expelling djinn. Do not trust just anyone in this matter. It is far too important to leave to amateurs, charlatans, or jokers.
Oh, that'd be you.
Just joking. Yeah. My suggestion is contact Simon Parks. He lives in England, but is available through Skype. You can contact him this way, also on his YouTube channel. He is also extremely busy, but is one of the most successful of these workers. I've not yet heard of a case of the djinn infestation he was not able to remedy. Of interesting note, he does not charge for this. He does this out of profound kindness of his heart. If you speak to him via Skype, his kindness and compassion will become immediately apparent to you. In fact, I know that if Simon sees that a case presents sufficient and immediate danger to the human being, Simon will act as quickly as possible to render assistance and see that the djinn gets removed. Of course, you might also ask Simon if he happens to know of anyone as equally qualified as he who can accomplish the same thing as he but lives closer to you. You never know until you ask. And please just keep that in mind. Based upon your descriptions, you are not suffering from psychological breakdown or delusion. Anyone who tries to convince you of this nonsense is either pathetically ignorant or blatantly lying. A hallucination cannot tear open your skin or affect you in the ways you have described. This is a genuine living being you are describing, not a fantasy, and you should send it packing as quickly as possible before something far more serious happens. Much love and light to you, Dave and Tim, your families and friends, and to all who listen to Darkness Radio. That comes from Philip. Thank you, Philip. I didn't mean to keep lightening up a little bit, but sometimes it gets a little dark. But you had some great wisdom and information. Maybe we should reach out to him and have him on our show. Not Philip, but the gentleman who can purge
djinn. Simon Parks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's look at. Can you look into that for me, Tim?
Sure.
Okay. Is he available?
Yeah. Actually, we're going to go see Halloween next week.
Hi, Dave and Tim. Sorry for not including Tim before. I got a bit behind on episodes of Beyond the Darkness, and just last night caught the parashare of September 29th. I was surprised to hear you start reading my letter as I soaked in a tub. Pardon the horrific image that sentence may conjure in your brain. I appreciate that you took the time to read my letter and dedicate such a significant portion of the show to replying to it. I thought you deserved a thank you for that, and I also wanted to write you a quick follow-up email. One, like you said, I do hope that my letter helps someone in some way. I never intended for it to be aired, but completely forgot to mention that in the letter. I guess if some good comes of it for another person, we can all call that a happy accident that I did not request it to be kept secret. Number two, I had to get as much info into a condensed space as possible. So in retrospect, I can see how you could think I'm constantly focused on the negative. I want you to know that while my failures and misfortunes are always stuck in the back of my mind, I'm constantly trying to keep or find a way to forge forward, onward, and upward. The legendary Winston Churchill once said something to the effect of, "The only way out of hell is through it." And he too suffered from depression, which he labeled his black dog. Since my teaching career stalled out, I have tried many things, like you suggested a few years back. I did look into things like peer counseling or other ways to use my nearly 10 years of higher education experience. I hit walls there, with one thing offered was volunteer work, which I already do for a Vietnam veterans organization in terms of fundraising. It was a great idea, though, and I thank you for that. I know one thing, And that is what keeps me from being suicidal. At any time, you are only one good day away from a completely different life. That's a great point. At any one time, you are only one good day away from a completely different life. For me, I thought that day came in 2017. I got that email from High Noon Entertainment, but alas, that was not the day. I did not mention this in the previous email, but that lemon is one I have tried to turn into lemonade. I sold my When I Get Some Money dream, bought my classic car, I sold my When I Get Some Money dream, my classic car I bought when I was 16 and was going to restore to fund my own little web series. I basically take people that have spent their nights and weekends doing what I had and hope to do better. But it lets me tell some personal stories that might get lost otherwise. I'm not sure if I mentioned it, but I taught history when I was an adjunct professor, and telling people's personal stories helps fill the longing of the old gig. But I know you and Tim are not car guys from your True Car commercials, but if you ever feel like checking out my little low-budget one-man production, you can find it under Average Joe Hot Rod Show on YouTube. All right, we'll put that out there, Robert, and let people find it. I hope I did not sound like I was begging for a job. You did mention that you had nothing for me as you worked from home. I feel there was a slight miscommunication there. I just know that as a person who knows and meets a huge number of people, many of them successful, that perhaps you could keep your eyes and ears open for someone needing an intelligent person with an academic background in history. That was the best case scenario I had in mind for sending that email. Worst was being ignored or being told to pound sand. I felt that was highly unlikely, though, and the realistic expectation was in the middle, a reply with some advice, which you delivered both in quantity and quality. Here's another piece of advice for you, Robert. Contact any TV show that you're interested in. If you love the paranormal, contact paranormal TV shows. Send in a resume regarding your interest in history and the paranormal. They're always looking for behind-the-scenes researchers, production assistants, things like that, that can you can bring something to these shows. So you may find a position yet that will benefit all of your interests. So don't give up. Keep trying that. Not to sound like a broken record, but thank you on behalf of all of us listeners for being accessible to an everyday stranger such as myself. I imagine you get flooded between your two shows, some of which are probably off the crazy charts, and I can see how that would make a person become less accessible. Thank you for not shutting yourself off. If you were ever in Iowa to hit up a place like Villisca, Malvern Manor, or Edinburgh Manor outside of Monticello here in the Hawkeye State, let me make an offer. I would happily treat you to a dinner out somewhere, as you would likely be traveling right by me on I-35. I give you a no sad story guarantee. And I figure with my background as a certified historian in the fields of science, technology, science and religion, Russia, USSR, and Germany, we would no doubt have a ton of intellectually entertaining conversation over some delicious burgers or barbecue. I'm not rich, but I could swing it, and it would be my honor. Well, thank you very much. That invite extends to both you and Tim, as well as any significant others, friends or family members that may be tagging along. You both get a plus one. I'm honestly not all that different from other history buffs you've had on your show. Just one that has suffered a few more setbacks in life. Your faithful listener, Robert. Robert, thank you so much. I appreciate that you took the time to write us in the first place and to write back again and let us know that there is a plus side, a positive side to your encounters and what's going on in your life. But don't give up, man. Always keep moving. Keep moving. Just keep swimming, swimming. Just keep swimming. Let's go to a couple more phone calls, Tim.
Sure.
Hey, Dave and Tim. My name is Chris, all the way from SoCal. I have an interesting story for you guys. When my cousin and I were little, back home, I live in an area called Palmville, California. This area is a little, like an hour away from Bakersfield. Growing up, him and I have always experienced paranormal activity, especially at the house I grew up in. So, not to bore you guys. Anyway, at my house where I grew up at, it was my younger sister's 15, and everybody left to get things for the after party after we came back from church. So it's just me and my cousin
waiting for the guys to bring the water slide that my cousin at the time, this was back when Facebook was around, sorry about that, MySpace, he was talking on MySpace with his girlfriend, and we heard the door kind of creak open coming from down the hallway from my sister's room. And I told him, well, I asked him, did you hear that? And he tensed up and noticed he didn't reply to me. And little by little, the footsteps were sounding louder and louder. We were at the kitchen, just waiting to see if something happened. A couple seconds pass by, and we hear a scream next to our ears. And that's the moment we rush out of the house. We stayed outside until our parents came. Nobody believed us. It was weird because there's always something going on in that house. Just like the time that I heard my name being called and nobody was home. Well, that's my short story. Sorry if I'm all over the place. Sorry if there's noise in the background. I'm actually driving to pick up my daughter right now. But I hope you guys enjoy that story.
Hello, Dave. My name's Larry. I've listened to the show for a while and thought I'd call in with my confession here. Turns out, about 15, 16 years ago, I did the stupidest thing of all time. I fulfilled a biblical prophecy just to see what would happen. And boy, did stuff happen. In return, I got a full-blown Daniel-class religious experience. I got to see apocalyptic visions, and then at the end of it all, an ancient Jewish name for God got stamped into my leg by a supernatural force. I am in so much trouble. I almost think they want me to be a Messiah, or at least a prophet of God. But since then, nothing. It's almost easier just to pretend I'm psychotic, except for one thing. I managed to get a photograph of that mark of God, so this is a crazy of a completely different color, so I don't know. Someday I'll have to tell you that story, but there is something the crazy wants me to tell the world, so I thought I would tell this story to Luke, to you, and let you guys decide if you want to broadcast it or not, but here goes. I know the Jews are looking for a chosen one, and I seem to be a chosen one. The only problem is I've never been told to be their chosen one. But I have looked into their problem, and I figured it out. And it turns out they have a major problem, and it's this. Back in the first century A.D., somebody triggered the curse of Malachi, and after working out all the details from the book of Hosea, what it is it turns out the Jews got nailed by a 2,000-year top-level Leviticus 26 curse, and it's still running. And now here's the surprising thing about that. In order to finish off a curse like what the Jews are under right now, basically it turns out the answer to it is real simple. They have to ask. According to 2 Chronicles 6, if they ever find out that they're under a curse, they're supposed to pray to their God and ask for it to be lifted. And that's pretty much it. they can get rid of the curse and their chosen one will appear. The problem is they don't know they're cursed, and it appears that nobody's ever really figured this out. So that's the strangest thing. The Jews are under a 2,000-year curse that they don't know about. So, have fun with that. Thank you, and goodbye for now. Maybe I'll call back later. After all, you probably would like to hear about the apocalyptic visions, wouldn't you? And I might even send you a copy of the photograph I took of that leg of mine. Now that is a screwy picture. Having an ancient Jewish name for God stamped on your leg by a supernatural force. Well, goodbye.
We're back, and again, you can be a part of our show by making a phone call as well. 651-300-4977. 651-300-4977. That's the best way to reach out to us and leave a story of the paranormal. If you've got ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, psychic phenomena, monsters, myths, legends, Ouija board stories, or even angelic stories, happy stories, funny paranormal stories, share them with us. You have 3 minutes to record your story. If it's a little longer, just call back and continue telling your story where you got cut off, and Tim will edit those pieces together into one seamless or sometimes seamed audio bit, and we will play them on a future episode. 651-300-4977 to become part of our Voices from Beyond aspect of the show. All right, check it out for yourself. Yeah. And remember, if you want to be a part of our show and be one of our Voices from Beyond, 651-300-4977, just like these callers.
Hey, hello, Tim.
Oh, yeah, and Dave, too. No, I'm just kidding.
Anyways, how you guys doing?
The story I'm going to tell today is one of my own, actually. I am an electrician by trade. And my company had this long-term contract with this senior community, I guess you can call it. It wasn't more like a senior home. It was a community. There was like a hospital area, a condominium area, a regular housing area, just depending on the level of dependency that the residents needed. So anyways, I was in the condominium area, and basically what we did was, after the residents would pass away, the company that I worked for, they would renovate, you know, the house, the apartment, condo, whatever it was, to fit for the next resident that moved in. So I was just finishing up all my work at this point. I believe I was working on a light switch at the time, and since it was just me by myself, I decided to kind of goof off a little bit. So I kind of put my screwdriver down and picked my phone up and started, you know, messing around. And at this point, I was standing in the kitchen facing the door that led out of the kitchen to the outside. So I'm right there plugging away at my phone, and all of a sudden, I see the doorknob twisting and turning, and the door is opening. So my first thought was, oh, here comes the boss. So I put my phone away, pick up my screwdriver again, and pretend I'm fixing the switch. And at that point, the door just swings open, and that's it. So I walk up to the door, I look, and I notice that the screen door is still closed and locked on the other side. And when I unlock that and open it, I realize that I'm standing at the balcony, and I'm on the second floor, and there's no way to get there. So at first I thought it was a maintenance guy coming to check up on me, but I believe it was a resident who had just passed away a month prior to that. So first thing I did was I got on the phone, called my wife, and said, "Hey, babe, guess what I just saw?" So, yeah, I told the maintenance guys about that later on that day, and they pretty much told me all of their stories. And hopefully I can call back and say some of those stories.
Hey, Dave and Tim. This is Earl from Eastern Kentucky. Calling back this week, sure do like your program. Doing a good job. Mobile, Alabama. Now, I'll tell you, last program, we had a challenge with that there, team. Now, mobile, it's a, I reckon when you get it going, you know, you're mobile. So I guess they called it mobile just because of a ville at the end, you know, like, I don't know, Parkville or Leisureville. So we got mobile. That's kind of how I figured it. But anyway, I knew how to pronounce that. I know, Tim, you have trouble. It's okay. Like I said, we in Houston, Kentucky sure do understand that. Paranormal-wise, I saw that Halloween movie. I tell you, that was a blast. Didn't really know there were so many different ones, though, when I got home. I tried to watch them all the way through, so I was caught up right on the timeline there so that I knew what was going to happen in this one. It threw everything to whack. I don't know exactly what Hollywood's doing, there's no continuity anymore, it seems, in films. I guess you just throw everything away and start over again. That's just the easy way to do it. It sure is a good show, though. Paranormal-wise, also, a lot of interesting things going around here for the Halloween season. We got a lot of corn mazes here in Eastern Kentucky. Corn, but then again, it's moonshine mazes. That's a little hard. You take a sip of moonshine, try to get through the maze, that kind of thing. Real fun stuff. Kind of surprised last show there, to be honest with you, that both Dave and Tim made fun of the South, and I know, Tim, you corrected me on this. It's all in good gist and fun and happy times, and so I understand. A little taken back by Dave doing it, but kind of expected from Tim by now. It's okay, Tim. Love you, but still. So I figured, hey, I'll just look me up a few jokes about Minnesota. All right. Well, I'll start out. What do Minnesota Viking fans do after they win the Super Bowl? What do they do? Well, they shut off the Xbox and they go to bed. And it's a funny joke, but another thing is, around here, though, we can actually fish from the banks. We don't have to drill no holes. That's something pretty interesting. And I heard it takes you about 5 hours to go to town to get something, because you have to stop and say hi to everybody on your way there. That's kind of relate to that, because when you're here in Kentucky, you know you're from Kentucky. When someone in the store offers you help, and they don't even work there. Just a couple little jokes, I reckon, that kind of liven up the mood. Sure do enjoy your show. Me and the wife getting along better now. Sure do appreciate all the interesting topics that you bring up. Till next time, this is Earl from Mr. Kentucky. Carry on.
All right, we're back. This is Parish Share, and you just got to hear callers from all around the world calling in to share their encounters with the strange and the supernatural. We'd love to hear from you, 651-300-4977, or email me like this one. Dave, Tim, a few years ago, my buddy and I were elk hunting in the Colorado mountains. It was snowing hard, and we were beginning to wonder why we were at 10,500 feet in a snowstorm. All the other hunters had already given up. As we approached our parking area, we spotted another vehicle. It was a 1960s-era pickup truck, and a hunter in blaze orange was standing next to it. This figure appeared somewhat, I don't know, furtive, and disappeared behind the truck. At this moment, the sky suddenly cleared and the sunlight became blindingly bright. My buddy and I parked, and as hunters, we do go by and look for the person we just seen to ask about their hunting success. But there was nobody there. In addition, there were no tracks in the snow. That's when my buddy and I asked each other if we had just seen someone. We had both had the same description of the person, but could not understand why there were no tracks in the snow. To this day, we believe we saw an apparition. That thing that is different from any other ghost stories I hear on your show is why the sunlight was so bright. Most ghost stories occur during the night. Do you have an explanation? I love the show, and that comes from Brian. Hey, Brian, the paranormal happens day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, everything will be all right. Instead of asking him how much of your time is left, ask him how much of your mind, baby. Because in this world, things are much harder than the afterlife. Because in this world, you're on your own. And you know what, Tim? If the elevator tries to break you down, go crazy.
I feel like I've heard that somewhere before.
Well, I like to, you know, sometimes I channel inspirational quotes that I've heard before, Tim. Well, that's it for today's show. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. We've got a really great show lined up for you. Check this out, Tim. We're going to be talking to a man who's helped over 250 spirits in what he calls Afterlife Interrupted. He helps stuck souls cross over, and he's got some really remarkable stories. Plus, I share another one of my own stories in a personal, very personal and profound theater of the mind. Myself, Nick Roth, We were part of this story. I hope you guys enjoy it. That'll be tomorrow on the best in paranormal talk radio. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader. You've been listening to Beyond the Darkness.